thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
We're in a war, guys. I've been grieved in my spirit for a few weeks. The reason is that two major church leaders have fallen into, let me take that back. They haven't fallen, but things have been exposed. Like, and I'm talking, they're going back 20, 30 years. But, you know, when you live, there are consequences. You live in sin, or you sin, you commit immorality. Like, there are consequences. And those consequences may find you 20 years down the road. And whenever I heard of the first person, I highly respect this person. You may have seen this stuff out in the media world, but I highly respect this person. I still respect this person. I still think they are a valuable member of the kingdom. They are stepping aside, and they are taking whatever needs to happen to rectify and restore that. And then I look at that and I think, how, you know, I'm not trying to minimize myself now, because I know who I am in the kingdom. I know who I am. I know what my assignment, mission, and scope is. So I don't want you to think I'm belittling myself or demeaning, because I always have those people that come up to me after service. Pastor, you shouldn't put yourself down like that, you know, and thinking that I'm, you know, no, I know who I am. But I do look at guys like that, and I'm like, man, they have mega, mega, mega churches. They've had them for years. They had mega churches before there were mega churches. And what in a person's mind would go, look at all that God has blessed me with. Let me just do this thing that could totally take all of my ministry from the Lord, for the Lord, away and wreck that. And not just wreck that, but shipwreck people's faith. Because you're not supposed to base your faith on my integrity, but many times younger Christians do. Because even the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So, you've heard me say it before, but man, I don't know how you feel about women preachers. I really don't care. But I love Joyce Myers, this quote that she has. She says, to the degree that you have to influence people, meaning if you have a church of 100, a church of 1,000, or a church of one of these guys, 20,000, all right. To the degree that you have to influence the people, you have the same degree of power to hurt people. So if you can influence 100 people, you can hurt 100 people. If you can influence 1,000 or 20,000 people, that's the potential you have to hurt that many people, to shipwreck their faith. And at the end of the day, your faith is your faith, and I'm not responsible for your faith. But I am responsible for how I influence you when I have your ears. And so I've been burdened in my heart. And then on top of that, another one happens. Almost like boom, right after that. I mean, these are men of God who are, you just wouldn't think this. It lets me know that when I get up and I say to you, my integrity, my lifestyle, my authenticity, that it's like, wow, man, if it can happen to them, somebody that is so elevated in the kingdom. And you get what I'm saying, right? I don't want anybody talking to me about that after church. Then somebody who pastors a church on County Road 13 in Daphne, Alabama, if it can happen to them, who am I that the enemy, that's why the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, be aware, be on your guard, man, so that when the enemy comes, that you do not let him destroy what God has built in the lives of people, in influence, and in the kingdom. Amen? We're at war. These are not dumb men. They are people with doctorates. They are people who are veterans in the faith. The enemy cannot be underestimated. We're at war. When you pray for me in areas of purity, in areas of authenticity, in areas of, you know, I have people that I surround myself with that help keep me accountable. Because I'm telling you what, I don't want to be a news story. But I'm not going to stand here in front of you and say, that will never happen to me. Because pride goes before the fall. And I want to be humble and say, but for the grace of God, that could be me. Thank you that I am highly favored. I'm protected. We're at war. We got to be vigilant, guys. Don't take your eye off the prize. In Acts chapter 19, that's where we're going to be going today. This is the seven sons of Sceva. I know you've heard me preach on that before. It's actually one of my favorite passages of scripture to preach. But I'm sure there's somebody here that you may not have heard this that particular passage before. And there's something that you can get every time. I was reading it this time, and something leapt out at me all the years that I've been in ministry, 35 years. It's never leapt off the page like that. So I love it when that happens. And today, as we talk about being at war and taking back what the enemy has stolen from us, I was thinking about my little dog. He's in doggy heaven right now. He's departed from us, but little Max, he was the joy of our life for 14 years. I didn't want that dog. I'm just going to tell you how condescending and judgmental I am. I'm like, if you got a dog in your house, you nasty. You nasty if you got a dog in your house. We ain't having no house dog. And that was just how I thought. And then Shay and the kids bring this dog home. And I'm like, I don't want that dog. I'm not taking care of it. I'm not doing anything with that dog. And as the little guy got older, he chose me to be his favorite. Now, I can see why he chose me. But I'm like, man, I would be at my computer working. Where's he? He's sitting in my lap right here. You know, he'd get under my shirt. We're in the bed. He wants to be right. I mean, everywhere we are, he is. And Max, he, at his biggest, Shay helped me out, but I think at his biggest, he was 4 pounds. So, I mean, he's a teeny tiny miniature toy fox terrier. But he had some medical conditions, and it made him mini miniature. So he was already supposed to be a miniature, but he was abnormally miniature because of his health conditions. All right? So he's a tiny little dog. We lived in Atlanta at the time when we got Max. And our neighbors had a big old black Labrador next door. And they're, you know, people walking their dogs like in your neighborhood and whatever. And man, I tell you what, any dog comes in our neighborhood, Max is on the loose. And he's like, he's like galloping across the yard. And he's like, get out of my yard. You know, I hope that's not who I am as an old man. I turn into that guy. He's like, get out of my yard. This is my yard. You're not going to poop here. I'm the only one pooping in this yard. Get out of my yard. And we are freaking out because Max is this big. And there would be Doberman pinchers. And they would be walking these Labradors and all this. Our neighbor had a big old black Labrador. And, dude, those dogs, those huge dogs, when Max would come and he's like, You know, and in his mouth, in mind, he sounded like a Rottweiler. You know, he sounded like, and but to himself, he was like, and he runs up, and man, those Dobermans, those dogs, they would be like, what the heck, you know, is going on here? And they would back down from him, and it was impressive. It was impressive. I'm like, that's right. That's my dog. That's my dog. That's my dog. That's my dog right there, you know. That's my dog. You know, put him back in his little purse, you know. Here's the thing. Max had so much confidence. He had so much confidence. He didn't know his size. All he knew was he was confident, man. He knew what was his. That yard was his. That's his yard. Don't be pooping in this yard. Don't be marking your territory here. This is already marked. It's got my name on this whole territory. He also knew that his owner was right there, standing to protect him. That if anything happened, we're going to go to war for little Max. You know what I'm saying? I just want you to think about that for a minute. Like, you know what's yours. You know what your domain is. You know what you own. You know what your inheritance is, hopefully. And if you're not, stick around here a while and we'll teach you what it is. But you know what's yours. Be confident. I, you, me, we, be confident in what's ours. That when the enemy comes to attack it, that we're a Max. I can't remember. What's Maximilian's whole name? Maximilian, come on now. Our daughter named him Aaron Maximilian Stewart. Be a Maximilian. Be a Max. Dominate your domain. Because the enemy's going to come and he's going to be like the Doberman. He's going to come and he's going to be like the one who's going to infringe upon everything you've got. The scripture says it. This is our theme scripture for this. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, listen, I want you to know that I've come, regardless if he's stealing, killing, and destroying, I've come that you'll have life to the fullest, abundant life. God wants us to have that life. Does not stop the enemy from trying to come and take away our joy, bring anxiety to us. It doesn't stop him from trying to take away our peace. It doesn't try to stop him from taking away even material things. It doesn't stop him from doing any of that. But you and I, if we are confident in who we are in Christ, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can accomplish great and mighty things. The enemy is not going to march up in here. He's not going to march up in my house and take away. Many times he'll take it away because he's manipulating us to self-sabotage. So many times when you've got issues going on with you and your spouse, you got to understand it. You're not working against your spouse. There is demonic activity in your house. Come on. I'm talking to so many people. Yeah, it's not just two or three. It's not just one or two. It's many people in this house. The enemy will come into our homes and he'll start self-sabotaging. What he's trying to do, he's trying to destroy, but he cannot destroy. If he could, the scripture is a lie. Is your house built upon the Lord? If it's built upon the Lord, it can't be destroyed. The scripture says a wise man builds his house upon the rock. The unwise builds it on a shaky foundation. But those who are built upon the rock of our salvation, the enemy can't destroy that. The only thing he can do is negotiate, manipulate us to self-sabotage. So the thief might come to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he does, you are going to declare, God has come that I'd have an abundant life. That my house is fully stocked. My pantry is full. My house is how I want it to be. My children are blessed. My life is blessed. My health is blessed. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you what. You got to be careful, guys. You got to keep your eye. Listen, I've been having some problems in my feet. All right. See, I can't have feet problems.
Well, Pastor, I've had feet problems for years.
You keep them if you want them. I do not have time for that. I don't have time for feet problems. I just had some surgery on my wrist for carpal tunnel. I don't have time for this. I got too much for to do in the kingdom of God. I use my hands too much for the kingdom of God. I didn't realize how muscular I was. I told the rally team this morning, I didn't realize how muscular I was. But I found out doing that daycare work because I woke up and I'm like, I found muscles that I didn't know I had. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm walking around the house. It's ridiculously sad if you saw me at home. But I would get out of the chair and I would be like, I'm not making this up. Is this true, Shay? And I'm like, oh my goodness, every part of my body is hurting. And I'm like, ah, like who is this old man that took my body? You know? Y'all ever get to those things? I am in this weird place in life, man. Because I will look at people and I'm like, who is this old person? Like this old guy. You know, and I'm like, oh, I'm 2 years older than that person. And I'm not exaggerating. This is not a comedy routine. I really think they're old. And I'm like, oh, I'm 2 years older than them. I'm old. You know, I'm getting there. And so here's the deal. We are overcomers. That's who God created you and me to be. We're overcomers. We're the head, not the tail. We're first, we're not last. Like, we are the ones that God chose to do his work in the earth. We're the ones. He chose you, he chose me. And so we're going to go throughout life. I'm telling you, I hope you're getting this. Because see, it's real easy to just preach and go, amen, brother, amen. I'm just right there with you. Praise God. Like, no. I'm like, you can save that for somebody else. I want you to be transformed. I want you to be renewed by transforming your mind. And we are kingdom movers. We are kingdom shakers. We are hell raisers, R-A-Z-E-R, I believe I spelled that right. We just take whatever the enemy has, and this is what raising means. It means wipe it clear. Just, you ever seen somebody in the movies, they just go and they just wipe it off. They raised the table. And that's what we do to the kingdom of darkness. It's time to take it back. Amen? It's time to take it back. Say it with me. It's time to take it back. All right, listen to this. If you're going to take anything back, you're going to need two things. You're going to need two things if you're going to take anything back from a spiritual realm of darkness. One, you're going to need power. And two, you're going to need authority. You're going to need these two things if you're going to take anything back that the enemy has somehow stolen from you through acts of manipulation or confusion or whatever method he used. The enemy is powerful. I had somebody come up to me one time after church, and all these people speak in the same tone, if you've never figured it out, that this is my tone for annoying people.
Pastor, I'm telling you, you give the devil too much power. You're always talking about power that the devil has. Our God is all powerful.
And I'm like, listen, bro, you need to step back a little bit because you can't even live straight. Don't be coming talking to me about,
my God, you talk about the devil. He's got too much power.
You know, and I'm like, you don't give him enough credit for the power that he has. I didn't make up his name. I didn't call him the strong man. The scripture calls the devil the strong man. Why? Because he is powerful. He's a formidable foe. He's an adversary that we need to keep our eyes on. And this person that's coming up talking to me, telling me this, I'm like, man, I get your point. I understand your heart, but you're really speaking in ignorance right now because that person could not live a stable life. Y'all know them. There are some of y'all in this room. Up one day, down the next. Up one day, down the next. Living hot, red hot on fire for God. And, you know, the other backslid as Willy Wonka. You know, I don't know if Willy Wonka is saved or not, but it just came out of my mouth. All over the place, double-minded. You know what the scripture calls that? Double-minded. It's like a reed tossed in the wind. Don't ever know which direction. God is looking for some people, man, that will just be straight up sold out solid for Jesus. The people who are straight up sold out solid for Jesus understand spiritual warfare. They understand who God is. It's the people that don't understand the power of the enemy that when they're off in la-la land and they're just, you know, getting up out of their glory cloud, and I'm all for that. They're not paying, paying attention. And the enemy waylays them with something. And they are so caught off guard. And they're like, God, why have you forsaken me? God, why is this happening to me? Because it rains on the just and the unjust. The Bible says that. You know, there's blessing and curse. You know, you just haven't learned how to deal with adversity. If you're in the kingdom of God, man, you're going to get adversity. We are not all just going to be on cloud nine all the time. When adversity comes, how do you deal with it? Because that's going to be when your character really comes out. How do you deal with challenges? That's going to really tell how strong you are in your faith. Adversity is going to come. Challenges are going to come. It says in Scripture, temptations are going to come. How do we handle those? You're going to need power and you're going to need authority. Look at Luke 9:1-2. Jesus is speaking right here, and one day, or he's not speaking, but it's talking about Jesus. One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples. This is when the ministry is smaller. In chapter 10, the ministry has grown, and he's now sending out, he's doing this and sending it out with like the 70. But one day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples, and he gave them power and authority. What did he give them? Power and authority to cast out all demons and heal all diseases. And then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom and to heal the sick. So where does the power come from? Jesus. God is our source. What did he give us? He gave us power and authority. So what's the difference between power and authority? First of all, power is the ability to accomplish something or overcome the power of another. Like greater is he, this is scripture, greater is he that is in me, the power that's in me, than he that's in the world. Like the power in the world, that scripture presupposes that the enemy has power. But greater is my power that's in me than he that is in the world. So I have power that is more powerful than the enemy. You have power in you that is more powerful than anything the enemy can throw against you. Amen. What's authority? The difference here is authority is the capacity, the scope of the power that we have due to our position. So you can have power but no authority. Like you might be strong and you can bust up in there and whoop some tails if, you know, something need to be corrected, but you didn't have the authority to do that. So guess where you're going? To jail, you know? But when you have authority, authority has been delegated to us that we have delegated authority over the enemy. You have to understand, the world is still under, listen, the dominion of Satan's realm. That happened back in the garden. It fell. Transition of power and authority was given over from Eve and Adam to the enemy. Jesus came to make everything right. However, he has given us power and authority to go into those places, but the enemy still has power and authority over there. Why do you think that when Jesus, when the enemy came and he enticed Jesus? Actually, let me take that back. That's not how that happened. The scripture says Holy Spirit was, Jesus was led by the Spirit. In the Greek, it literally means Jesus was either dragged or pushed by Holy Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the enemy. Because who wants to go into a place of temptation for 40 days and 40 nights? Anybody? We're getting a bus together after church to do that. Anybody want to go with me? No, nobody wants to do that. So the enemy pushed, he drug Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And he even said to Jesus, the creator of all of that, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Now, he couldn't have said that if it weren't true, because it was his to give at that time. But God now, through his son Jesus, has rectified that, and he's given us power and authority.
Well, Pastor, that's talking about the first apostles and the first...
Well, you just don't even understand the principle of discipleship, of apostolic succession, meaning there's others coming after us. There's more apostles. We're training up. We're sending out. There's more evangelists. There's more prophets. That whole Ephesians chapter 4 leadership. You discipled somebody, then you turn around and you have children. Or somebody discipled you, then you turn around and have children. You train them up in the way that they should go. You have influence in people's lives. It's cyclical, okay? So we have that power and authority that Jesus unleashed right here upon them. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to put it here on the screen. This is Paul speaking to the church, and listen to him now. He's praying for them. He says, I'm praying this for you. This is what I want to pray for you today and myself. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Because most of the time we don't get it. We don't understand. You're a powder keg, man. You are potential dunamis. That's the Greek word for power. You are a powder keg. You're dynamite. Amen. You have power beyond your wildest dreams and imagination. And Paul's like, I hope you get it. He said, this is the same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him, did two things. It raised him from the dead. That's a feat in and of itself. But then placed him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. It's the same power. Y'all, listen. Come on now, wake up. Listen. That's in here. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in here. Y'all know Jesus is alive, right? Jesus is kind of a little freaky. He's God and man. I'm telling you, mine will just start exploding here in a minute. It's like quadratic equations for me. You get beyond that certain place in math, and I'm like, I trust you. I trust you. He's not just spirit like God, but he is God. But he's flesh and bone and God in the flesh. He's somewhere in heaven, wherever that realm is. And he's seated in a place of honor and glory. That power, seated, not, he ain't sitting down necessarily. He's seated. It's his seat of authority, his seat, his position. Somewhere, that same power that did that is in me. whether I'm flipping burgers at McDonald's or I'm operating on somebody's brain or I'm picking up trash alongside the road, whether I'm in a prison cell or whether I'm a teacher in a university, the same power inside of him is inside of all of the believers. It literally is mind-blowing. Look at this. Now, he is far above any ruler or authority or a power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. Like, he's the supreme. He's the supreme. Everything is his footstool. It's under his feet, man. And he did this for our benefit. And look at the last part here. And the church is his body. And the church is his body. And the church is his body. Meaning I'm connected to the head. Like I'm not following in after him. I'm part of him. I'm part of the body. If I'm not connected, something's wrong. I'm dead. I'm connected. And then it says this, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. I'm just telling you, man, this is mind-blowing. So I'm part of his body. We're intricately connected, you and me, and we're intricately connected. He fills me. The fullness. He makes me full, complete. Like the fullness of Christ is in me. That blows my mind. The fullness of Christ is in me? You mean we can do things that Jesus did? That's why he said greater works you're going to do. You're going to lay hands on people. You're going to do greater works. You're going to go out. You're going to do way more. My time is limited on this earth. You guys have many more years to accomplish if we will. And so we're going to need power and authority. And here's how you activate that. When we overcome adversity, when we activate our power and authority. You're not going to overcome adversity unless you activate power, your power, and authority. Too many times we've been taught incorrectly that we want God to come and we want God to fix every little thing for us. That's why we have baby Christians that their only prayers are God, fix this for me prayers. Fix it yourself. God gave you the ability, the authority, the power. You fix it. He filled us with his spirit, the fruit of the spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. Self-control. Not God control. Self-control. And so if you're going to overcome adversity, we got to get out of this place of, God, you're going to have to help me here. He's already helped us. He's already helped us. He's already overcome. Fear not, I have overcome the world. You will overcome the world because I've overcome the world. So what we've got to do is I'm asking you in this room, if you're watching, whoever watches this in the future, that you'll have a transformation, a paradigm shift of like, God, come fix this for me. No, you have the power, you have the authority, you have the ability. Start fixing that for yourself. He'll fill in where you're weak. He will anoint you. As a matter of fact, that's what anointing means. You do what you can do, and what you can't do, he's going to come by the power of his spirit. He's going to make the difference up for you. He's like the nitro in us, you know. He gives us that extra boost. So say it with me on the screen. We overcome adversity when we activate our power and authority. All right, look in Acts chapter 19 real quick. We're going to dive in. talking about the seven sons of Sceva. You there? Yes. All right. Verse 11. God gave Paul the power. There's that word again. So God gave Paul the power, dunamis, that's the Greek word, to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases and evil spirits were expelled. Listen to me, my church friends. I hope I don't make anybody mad. I probably am fixing to. The church, we are a bunch of Israelites. We are a bunch of Pharisees. We take everything that God made simple. We put our spin on it. We make it so difficult that to cast a devil out, we got to fill out an 18-page, form. I'm not even lying. There are deliverance ministries that will make you fill out pages that are like 18 pages of your history and everything. And, you know, and what they're trying to do, oh, my God, I'm going, what they're trying to do, that is a pseudo word of knowledge. The gift of knowledge, what Holy Spirit will tell you, Holy Spirit will reveal to you what you need to know about that person. I know some therapists are getting mad at me. I know some people who have been trained in deliverance ministry are getting a little bit of confusion on you right now. I just pray Holy Spirit gives you the truth. That you, what's happening is trying to find that information out on you, which is giving them knowledge of your past. We've been taught we got to go through all of these channels and all of these when I'm like, my God, you mean this just touched Paul and I got a devil and it just touches me and whoo, devil's like, whoa, what was that? What was that? Handkerchiefs. I mean, Shay and I, a few years back, I don't even know what was going on in our world, but Shay's mama, she came, I still have it. She came and she's like, I want y'all to put these handkerchiefs under y'all's pillows. And, you know, and we prayed over these and we believe. You know, they were going based off of this. Man, we put those things under our pillows and we're like, we're going to bed. We ain't messing with the devil. We'll wake up and he'll be there tomorrow and we'll deal with that. But tonight, I'm going to sleep in peace. And so here, Paul has this power. Guess who has that same power running through our spirits and bodies? We do. You tell the devil, you are not going to continue this. I don't know when the deadline or the expiration date is, but it is coming, period. And I'm not negotiating with you. I'm telling you, sometimes I just, people probably think I'm schizophrenic. I'll just be like, shut up. Who am I talking? The devil? Why? Because I'm just sick of his lies and I'm sick of him, you know. Oh, that reminded me of something I started early in the sermon that I didn't finish, all right? So let me come here and I'll come back. So I get up. I'm walking across the room like this, and I'm like, oh, my feet. I'm like, oh, my feet. And I'm like, I don't even know what it is, but I heard them talking about it. I think it's plantar fasciitis, or if that's the right thing. Oh, I know that there's a couple of friends of mine that have gout, and, you know I've got gout. Man, I'm 56 years old. I've got gout. Listen, that's how the devil will come, you know. And I'm like, Shandalam, you know, you just touched these. I'm not negating the fact that there's pain. I'm not negating the fact that that's a real thing. But not today. I don't have time for this. Me and Dr. Scholes fixing to go build something. You know what I'm saying? All right, now let me get back on track. So a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried, meaning they weren't successful, they tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation. I'm just telling you, so far, that sounds demonic to me. I don't ever go in there and to the hospital and say, I'm just gonna perform an incantation over you. Like, oh, Jesus, you know, y'all be, no, it something's not right here. Would you agree? Yeah. All right, so a group of Jews, verse 13, was traveling, that word, periarchomai. The Greek word there, King James translates it as vagabond. This is something Holy Spirit pointed out to me that I'm telling you all my years of ministry, I've never even seen this. I'm like, I'm just looking at them. I'm comparing translations. I'm like, why did they translate this word, periarchomai? You know, they're just traveling. To me, when in one version, it's kind of like, we're just Jesus, Mary, men. Come on, boys, let's go over to Mobile and, you know, da-da-da-da-da. We do our work there. We do our work. But King James... This is not a King James New Living Translation, you know, argument. I love New Living Translation. That's one I use all the time. But I cross-reference everything, multiple translations, and with the original Greek. That's why I'm a student of the word. I want you to be, don't read the word, study the word. Yeah. Don't read the word, don't study the word. That's what we're called to be, students of the word. Periarchomai, they translate it as vagabond. What's a vagabond? A vagabond is a wanderer. My God in heaven, if this doesn't speak to the state of our church today, listen, if you're here, and I know there are a few of you, if you're here and you're new to Destiny, I don't want to turn you off. I'm not even saying, you know, this is not towards you or anything. I'm trying not to even look at anybody. I'm looking over y'all's heads because we've all been new at a place, haven't we? We've all been new at a place. But what happens is in the States, I don't know about other countries, I haven't asked those pastors, but in the States, we have an epidemic of people who have a wandering vagabond spirit. I'm telling you what, I've had people walk up in here, hey, I'm prophet so-and-so, oh Jesus. I've had people announce themselves as prophets to me, every single one that has ever said that. I'm telling you, if I'm wrong, I'll correct it later, and I can't remember any right now. So if there's any, God, bring it to my memory. But they all are weirdos. Every person that has ever self-proclaimed them. Now, I'm not saying they weren't. They were just weirdos. And you're not bringing your weirdo mess up in here. Like, you know, where do you go to church? Well, I don't have a church. There's somebody in my world right now, and it's like, you know, they're wanting to be a community leader. Well, what church do you go to? And I go to the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, really, where is that? Well, I don't belong to a certain body. I'm like, at some point, I'm only going to listen to you so far. Because you have a vagabond spirit. You have a wandering spirit. People, they want to use their gifts. I guess that's why I woke up thinking about this morning, that there have been people that when they stop serving in Destiny, they no longer come here. Because there's no commitment to a people. There's no commitment to a house. There's no commitment to a leader. Nobody can make you, like, you know how I submit myself to you guys? Like, there's nobody. Who are you submitted to? Well, nobody. I'm a vagabond. I'm a wanderer. I'll go over here for a little bit, then I'll go over there for a little bit. Listen, if you're in this house, stop it right now. There is not anything to be proud of. Like, I had a man to stand up one time and he says, you know, I was part of Life Church in Mobile for blah, blah, blah. And then I went over to, you know, Covenant Church and then blah, blah, blah. And he's going down the list and he's like, yeah, I've been in 11 churches in 14 years. And he was proud as he could be of it. And I said, well, man, that's nothing to be proud of. Needless to say, he didn't stick around long. But I said, well, that's nothing to be proud of. I said, because who do you submit to? What body do you submit to? Who can vouch for you? You told me you're a prophet. How do I know that? Because Holy Spirit isn't going, no bells are going off in me going, ding, 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 prophet in the house. You got one right in front of you. None of that's going off in me. So I'm going to have to take somebody else's word or whatever I see in you. Who can vouch for you? He couldn't give me anybody. You will not be prophesying here, my friend. No, we got to be in relationship. The scripture says, know those who labor among you. Know those who labor among you. And so, you know, when we look at these guys, they're going around and they're traveling from place to place, place to place, place to place. No roots anywhere. Nobody to answer to. Not only this, come on now, church, you know I'm telling you the truth. If they were planted somewhere, if they had a depth to them, they would have known that they were this deep. They would have known that their ministry was superficial. They would have known that. But because they weren't anywhere for any length of time, their understanding of the word didn't go deep. And so they just had what little knowledge that they had. And it's like, come on, this is good enough. This is good enough. Let's get on out here. I mean, I'm telling you what. If the apostles themselves were with Jesus for almost 3 years because he was coming to the end of his message or ministry on earth, and he sends them out and they come back and they're like, man, I don't know what we did wrong, but it ain't working. Hey, they're with Jesus every day of the week, you know, pretty much all the time. If they got it wrong, what happened when they got it wrong? Jesus said, well, y'all are doing this wrong. So y'all come up one of them big devils. I mean, y'all didn't come up against the demonic spirit of cantaloupe. You know, like, no, you can't have that. You know, didn't want it anyway. No, you came up against a big territorial spirit. That kind will only come out if you spend some considerable time in prayer. Prayer is communication with God, not always supplication. Prayer is communication with God. God, what are you saying about this? What are you saying for me today? What are you saying about these situations in my life? God, I got this person at work and this is trying to happen, and God will speak to you, because when you're praying about it, Holy Spirit will reveal to you there's a spirit of lust on that person. There's a spirit of manipulation on that person. They're trying to get you fired. See, you're going to blame the devil, but this person's manipulating you and trying to get you all mixed up into their drama, and you're going to get fired over that. So don't let the enemy steal. We're at war, people. And so what happens is these guys are not deep. They haven't had the roots, and they're going around. They're doing ministry, but they're doing it wrong and incomplete. All right. So verse 13, a group of vagabond Jews, a group of traveling Jews, they were going from town to town casting out evil spirits. Wait, Pastor Rife, I thought you just said that they weren't doing it right. No, listen, they were trying to cast out these devils. They were doing their best to do it. But, you know, they tried to use the name of Jesus. Man, we can have some success, but I do not want to come up against devils that I go, all right, boys, we're fixing to go in here. Do y'all want to follow me in there? If we're like, all right, come on. I think we can take them. I think we can take them. I think we can. I don't know how, when we open this door, man, I don't know how big those devils are going to be. I don't know how ugly they're going to be, but I think we can take them. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? Y'all with me? You know? No. You want somebody to say, listen, we're fixing to walk into this room and we got to be prepared for anything. He is sly. He is smart. It's not his first rodeo. It's not the first time he's done this. So when we walk in, we're going to be sober, vigilant. We're going to be discerning. We're going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So we're fixing to go in here, and we are going to be successful. That's who you want. That's how you want to be. All right? And so it says that they tried to use the name of Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you, meaning the devil, in the name of Jesus, they got it right so far, whom Paul preaches, it starts to go off course. Because I'm just telling you, man, the devils don't know everything. And they're like, we command you. Oh, uh-oh. How you gonna command me? In the name of Jesus. Oh, no. Whom Paul preaches. Hang on a second. Come again? Come again? Because I know Paul. We've been up against him, and we know he's been with him. Like, but you know him? Like, how close are you to him? How connected are you to him? This is what's happening. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit, he leapt upon them. Look at this word. He overpowered. See, it wasn't the same. That scripture wasn't the same for them. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Not in that. Pastor Wesley preached a great message just a few weeks ago. When what is inside is greater than what's on the outside, then you can overcome. But they just happen to not have a greater degree of power than the enemy. And that man leapt upon them. And dude, it was a reckoning that was a little embarrassing for them. And he attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. Naked and battered. I mean, he whooped those old boys up. They didn't know how to activate their power. See, they were all about the mechanics. They were all about the aesthetics, the optics of what spiritual life looks like. Listen, man, you know, like they got those dogs that I don't understand how they train those dogs. Those dogs coming through the airport and everything. Those dogs, they can pick out different pills. They can pick out different substances just by the smell. I'm telling you what, the enemy can walk by any of us and he can. Mm-mm. Ain't even worth bothering with. He ain't no threat to this kingdom. But he gets a whiff over here. It's like, nope, these are people who are not to be reckoned with. The enemy knows the difference. He is savvy. He understands. He's wise. That's why the scripture says that we are to be wise as doves. Serpents, harmless as doves, wise. The enemy's wise. The serpent is wise. He'll sit there and he'll study you. He'll look at you. See, many of us don't understand, and I'm not trying to put any fear in you, but you don't understand, but you will after this. There are attacks the enemy is waging against you that he's been waging it for years. Yeah. Man, things are going good. No, things are never going good in the kingdom of darkness. The enemy, he'll wait for years. He'll wait for decades. He'll plan for the right moment to strike. That's why we've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant. We're at war. We've constantly. I don't mean you got to be nervous. You ain't got to be paranoid. No, you're going to maximize yourself. You're going to maximize yourself. You're going to be confident. You're going to be confident. Ain't no devil coming in my house. Ain't no devil coming in my yard. Ain't no devil. You know what I'm saying? Listen, church people don't get it. People like me get it. I'm not an average church person. I'm not trying to belittle you. I'm in an office. I'm in an Ephesians 4:11 office. Some of you are in those offices, but not everybody. I operate at a different level in the kingdom than you do because of my calling and responsibility. That's not to belittle anybody. It's just the fact. All right? The enemy has targeted us according to our position in the kingdom. We have to be careful. We have to walk around. I'm not trying, again, to give you a spirit of fear, make you fearful about anything. We are to be confident in who we are in Christ and what we have. But we've got to do it with a spirit of integrity. We've got to do it with a spirit of purity. We're all, myself included, are going to fall short from time to time. That's why we go to God in prayer constantly in Psalm 139 ourselves. Dear Jesus, it's another day. Yesterday's gone, and here's this one. God, if you see something that I don't see, please point it out. Because the enemy's powerful, and I do not want to walk out these doors today and be his success story. I do not want to walk out. And I've lived my life, I've lived my family, I've lived all these friendships, and walk out the door today and be stupid and be, you know, just... aloof spiritually, and boom, the enemy comes. He's planning constantly for us, but we walk. He's constant, but we're confident. He's constantly fighting. He's constantly scheming, but we should be constantly confident. And if you ain't, I'm telling you, here's the beautiful thing about community. If you're not feeling confident, if you're in a good community, they'll lift you up. Brothers and sisters, keep building up one another in the most holy faith, that when you are off your game, somebody stronger than you at the moment will come along and will hold you up. Yeah. Amen? That's how you and I can be confident. So let me go these four things. Hunter or Melissa, if y'all want to come. Four ways to activate your power and authority. You can have power all day long, man. If you don't activate it, if you don't use it, number one is prayer. Prayer is connection with the Father. Staying connected. Get delivered from a spirit of religion in your prayers. So many people, you don't pray because you are trying to pray in this way that is beyond your scope right now of ability. There are some people in here, I'm not trying to belittle you. You couldn't pray more than 15 minutes if you tried. That's not trying to belittle you. I can remember when I would try to pray, man, I couldn't go more than 5 minutes and I'm slobbering on my pillow. I didn't understand prayer. But you know what? I kept trying and I kept trying and I kept trying. And I kept trying. And I grew through all of that religious stuff that people taught me with good intentions. And then I just realized, oh, Jesus and me, man, we like this. We're buddies. We're friends. And I don't mean to demean Jesus and his place in the Godhead. But if Scripture says that we're friends of God, then can I say it? I mean, we're friends. And I can, when I talk to friends, I just easily just talk. Conversation is easy. I'm telling you what, I'm not going to make any qualms in here. This is not to make anybody, but Brian Smith is my best friend. I've known him. I was looking through some pictures the other day, Brian, of me and you and our wives and everything. And in this picture, there's about 12 people. And you and your wife and Sheila are the only people that have stood with us all these years through all those rocky times, all those times when my character was assassinated, when people called me a narcissist, a toxic leader, all of these different things. Y'all are the only ones. I'm telling you, if that man doesn't know me, I ain't real. And there are times, like, I don't have to talk to Brian like this. Like, hey, Brian, this is Rife. Well, he knows because he knows my voice. My sheep know my voice. Because why? We're friends. I don't have to go into when I'm trying to set up my argument. Disclaimer. I don't have to set up a disclaimer with him. Like if I just need him, I just call him and say, hey, man, I got this going on. Can you help me? I got, blah, blah, blah. I don't have to worry about anything that I say to Brian, him going, ugh. You know, I mean, murder, all those kinds of things, that's so far off the charts. You know what I'm saying? Anybody would. But I don't have to worry about when I call him to say, hey, man, this is what I'm dealing with right now. I don't have to worry about him judging me. He's seen me at my snotty, nastiest worst, I believe, in at least the time frame that I've known you. Because we're friends, and he understands me that way. I understand everybody does not know me that way, and if you saw me in some of the times like he's seen me, you would be like, Jesus. When I realize that is the kind of relationship that Jesus and I have, I don't have to come to him with any pretense. I don't have to come to him. I don't have to do any disclaimer. I used to think, you know, that like, oh, I'm mad at God. I'm like, I just tell him when I'm mad at him now. I'm like, come on, now you're just being unfair. Like, what is up with you? Like, why did I get to that point? A couple of reasons. One, he knows already. Two, he does not do fake because he sees right through that. Three, he is a merciful God. He is all understanding God. He is a patient God. And he's like, I know, buddy, you're just a little toddler right now. You're just mad and kicking the wall, and I'm the wall right now. But you'll understand. You don't understand it. I'm telling you, when you get to that place in your relationship with Christ, that prayer is so easy because it's not religious. It's on aisle 9 at Walmart. It's at Chick-fil-A. Well, no, let me use another one because Chick-fil-A knows that's where God eats. It's at the drive-thru at McDonald's. It's in the middle of the night when only your private thoughts are with you. It's any time. It's when you're walking to somebody through their darkest valley, and it's when you've just got your biggest promotion ever. It's at all times. It comes at times when you're so broken you can't understand God, and he is okay with just letting you misunderstand him, because his spirit right now is just comforting. That's why it's great to pray in tongues, because I'm wanting to say to him, what? You're just being unfair. God, this isn't fair. But when I pray in tongues, Holy Spirit is saying, he doesn't mean that. He feels that way, but he's not mature enough yet to see what you're doing. So we're going to help him out. You know, are you following me? Are you following me? I don't know if y'all are enjoying this as much as I am, but this is ministering to me. This is ministering to me. So prayer is a powerful way that we activate our power and authority. Mark chapter 9:28-29 says, afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit? And he said, this kind comes out only by prayer. Some versions say prayer and fasting. But what he's saying here is he's like, guys, there are some devils that if you go up against them, you have got to be in such community with me. Here's what a lot of people with a religious mindset will think. Man, I couldn't defeat this devil or whatever. Man, I guess I just hadn't prayed enough. Well, that's a religious response. Because what you are really thinking, you are thinking like, I hadn't spent enough time in prayer. I hadn't spent enough hours in prayer. I'm just telling you, 3 minutes of prayer can do as much or more than 3 hours of prayer. It's not about the time that you spend in prayer. It's about the connection. It's about the connection. I'm telling you what. He's like, this kind comes out only by prayer. What do you mean? What do you mean, man? We pray all the time. We with you all the time. Yeah, but y'all was asleep in the garden. I'm praying, but y'all are asleep.
And then I've told you so many things, so many kingdom secrets, so many. Listen to me, folks. You got to listen to this or you'll miss it. He's like, I've told you so many kingdom things. I've told you the mysteries of heaven. You have an inside scoop and you go out and do you not think I hear you? What did he mean? What did he mean by that? I don't like what he said there. Like, you're with me. You're going through the motions. But you're not really praying. You're not really connected. Does that connect with you? All right, we're thinking about in this scripture, like, well, does he mean that they didn't spend enough hours in prayer? No, he means you're not connected enough to me. You're praying. You're going through the motions. You got the acts going on. I need the heart. I need the connectivity. I want you and I to be one as the Father and I are one. So that when you step into the room, man, I'm telling you, this is good preaching. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. This is good word Holy Spirit is delivering to the house today. He says, I want you and I to be one. He prayed that in John. He said, Father, oh, that they may be one as you and I are one. Why? Because when you walk into the room, he walks into the room. When you walk into the hospital room, when you walk into the situation where somebody needs some godly wisdom, it is like Jesus. No. It's not like Jesus himself. Jesus himself is there with them. That's why. That's how that works. Prayer is a way to activate it. Speaking the name of Jesus. Listen, we already learned from these old boys. You can't just say the name of Jesus. You got to have the connection and the relationship to back that up. Luke 10:17 says, when the 72, now listen, some trial and errors happened. In Luke chapter 9, he sends out 12. They come back and go like, hey, we tried that stuff. It don't really work for us. He's like, what did y'all do? Tell him, you know, well, you did it wrong. Well, you're up against a powerful devil. You got to be more connected with the Father. You got to pray more. Be connected with the Father. Hang out with the Father more. And then it'll happen. And by that time, the group has grown and Jesus' disciples had grown and they had, you know, expanded and he's teaching them again. And when they come back this time, the original 12 is part of this group and they come back and like, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. Even the demons obey us when we use your name. He's like, yeah, I can probably believe that. Speaking in the name of Jesus, being connected with the Father, that when you speak the name of Jesus, listen, I'm gonna pick on my buddy here. So, Jesus, I'm not gonna embarrass you too much, other than this point little right here. Jesus, he's got the same name as Yeshua, Jesus. You see what I'm saying? They're the same name. They're the same name. All right. Now, if I went in there and I said, in the name of Jesus, now I know y'all in your language, that's how you say it, but if I just went in there and hey, in the name of my old buddy, Jesus, I'm telling you, he's a big old boy. He'll tear you up. But if I go in there and I'm like, in the name of Jesus, it's two different things. That's two different things. That when we speak the name of Jesus and we are connected with the Father, that name does something. And I know we like to get loud. I like to get loud. I've been raised in a tradition that is like pray loud and pray hard. And I do that a lot of times. But we don't have to get loud. We can just whisper the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you what, that freaks devils out. And at the name of Jesus, if I just say, you're not doing that today in Jesus' name. You're not doing that today. We are not playing that game today. Number three, way to activate power and authority is submission to God. Submission to God. Submission to God, James 4:7 says, submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Telling you what, resisting the devil without submission to God is like a kamikaze mission with hell. You try to resist the devil, I'm telling you, he is going to wipe the floor with you. You do not want to fight the enemy without being connected and submitted to the Father. It's by his might, by his power, says the Lord. Amen? And so the last thing is this, an authentic lifestyle. John 8:47 says this, Jesus told them, if God were your Father, you would love me because I have come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. We also know that Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. In other words, if you love me, like live out my teaching, like really be a disciple. Live this out. But this is in the subjunctive mood. I think that's right. Jesus told them, if God were your Father, well, the subjunctive mood is meant to imply something that's hypothetical. Anytime you say, well, if I were the owner of this house, I would rearrange, you know, the yard to look this way. Or if I had $1 million, all of those are in that subjunctive mood. Meaning, those are hypotheticals. They're not real. So when Jesus says it like this, he's going, now we know he's not, but if God were your Father, are you following me? He's saying this to religious people. And he's like, so if God were your Father, we know he's not, you would love me. But because I've come from him. If God were your Father, you would be in connectivity with him and you would know these things. You would know, I am living proof, God in the flesh manifest, of the goodness of God. This is who I am. But because you don't know me, you seek to destroy me, to kill me, to crucify me. There's not an authentic lifestyle there. And so when we look at this way to activate our power and authority, guys, we've got to really live this stuff. Like, we really have to live it. You don't have to be perfect. I'm not perfect. My wife and I have had conversations within the last week of ways that I'm not perfect. I'm not righteous all the time in some of the things that I do, but I'm righteous in Christ. And when Holy Spirit is connected with me, I don't need her to point the stuff out. That's the problem with some of y'all's marriages. Y'all so busy doing Holy Spirit's job that he's not needed in your marriage. You know? Just pray for your wife, pray for your spouse, pray for your children. God will do his work. But we've got to live an authentic lifestyle. We've got to live this stuff out. We've got to live it. We don't have to be perfect, but we've got to be authentic. So here's how we're going to end this. I want you to stand, if you can. I want you to say this declaration with me like you mean it. Let's get it in our spirit. We're going to say it about 3 times, okay? I just want you to get it into your spirit being. Your mind is one thing, but your spirit, like when you understand it when it gets in your spirit. Let's go. We overcome adversity when we activate our power and authority. Do y'all know what that means? All right, I'm going to explain it anyway. Adversity is not going to happen. Or overcoming adversity is not going to happen if we don't activate that power and authority. It's hopeless, guys. Like, I'd have to paint you a dark picture, but that's the opposite of good news. Here's the good news, the gospel to you today. You can overcome anything when you unlock that power of prayer
and you unlock that authority that we have as sons and daughters of God. Let's say it again. We overcome adversity when we activate power and authority. One more time. We overcome adversity when we activate power and authority. All right? This is how you can go out of here today and you can apply this. Remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Like, literally say it out loud. Like, do you know who I am? Do you know? I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. If you have an Ephesians chapter 4 position in the kingdom, do you know who you're messing with? Like, do you know who I am? This is what I tell the devil. Now, you tell him about you. How you would relate it to yours is, do you know who I am? I own this property. You're not going to take this for, I own this property. You're not going to come up in here. You're not going to bring that up in my property. I own this property. I have the deed. I make the payment on. So you're saying these things. Remind yourself of who you are in Christ. I'm your mother. I'm your father. I love you. That's my child. Do you know who you're messing with? I will slap the taste out of your mouth, spiritually speaking. Like, are you following me? Like, we remind ourselves. We remind the enemy often. Say it. Normalize it. And then this is the other thing. Normalize using the name of Jesus. Normalize this, okay? Because there's some times where it's like, Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Like, things will be coming against you in the name of Jesus. Because just in case you didn't understand, I'm an ambassador. I represent him. I'm here. I'm his emissary. I'm here. And I'm representing him. He is with me. He's right there. In the name of Jesus. Not the one who Paul preaches. Listen to me. The one I know personally. I was with him all the time. As a matter of fact, he's right here with me. He's inside of me. You already knew that because when I came into the room, I freaked you out. Are you following me? Normalize using the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Lord Jesus, today, my prayer is when we started in Ephesians, I started with Paul's prayer saying, I pray this for you. I pray that you understand the incredible power that is living inside of you, that is work within you. If you do not know that power, right now, in the name of Jesus, you can receive Holy Spirit into your life right now. And just say, Lord, I receive you. I receive your power. I want to be baptized in your Holy Spirit. I want that kind of authority and power to run through me so that when I walk out these doors, there is nothing that I'm afraid of. There's no situation I can't overcome because, God, you've given me the power and authority to take ground, to take back anything that the enemy has brought against me. Receive him in the name of Jesus.